This is NHL Audio, presented by XM.
That's our cue to bring in our NHL Network insider to talk about some other things that may still be going on as Darren Dreger. But first, Darren, it's our first chance to talk to you since the bombshell of Ryan Suter and Zach Parise going together to Minnesota. So give us your take first on that.
Well, you know, I might be one of the few who wasn't surprised. Just the longer that this thing dragged out, the more it was becoming possible, if not believable, that, you know, Ryan Suter and Zach Parise were going to wind up on the same team. And, you know, the sense that I got going into unrestricted free agency was that Chuck Fletcher, Craig Leopold, the Minnesota Wild were poised to try and do something special, something spectacular. And I think that by acquiring both of these guys, signing both of these guys to long-term contracts, that fits into the category of both spectacular and special. So I think how it all came to be, though, was just the constant communication that Suter and Parise had, particularly in the last 36 hours leading up to their final decision. This was not an easy decision. Detroit came in hard. There were so many teams that had considerable interest, but, you know, they chose the best path for them professionally and for their family, and you can't fault them for that.
Hey, Deb and I were discussing this a little bit off camera, Darren. Was the fact that Zach flew to Minnesota, I know he's got a home there and everything, but was that a tip-off in any way? Because, like, I have a hard time believing that he was going to go to Minnesota and say, guess what, guys, I'm staying in New Jersey or I'm going to Detroit. I mean, I got to think that maybe that was a little bit of a tip-off.
Yeah, if not a tip-off, an indication, or at least it added to the signs that were pointing towards the Minnesota Wild. I tend to agree with that, EJ. You know, if you're agreeing or thinking that you're going to go to Detroit, if you're Zach Parise, or you're leaning towards joining Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins, you're probably staying in and around Newport Sports in Toronto and waiting to make that announcement there. So, yeah, when Mike Russo from the Minneapolis trip jumped on board, caught him at the airport, And he had a great story there, by the way, throughout that process. It was captivating. Dan, I think you're right. I think we all kind of lean towards thinking that, hey, you know what? Not only is Minnesota likely to get one, but they may get them both and do the unthinkable.
So the Canes now have said that they're out of the Rick Nash sweepstakes. They wanted Jeff Skinner, which is a non-starter. What's the latest that you're hearing on Rick Nash?
Well, you know what, Deb, not a lot. And, I guess we have to appreciate Scott Housen being patient through this process, because he's been nothing but patient, you know, dating back to January when the word first broke that Rick Nash had asked for a trade. And, you know, it was likely that the captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets was going to get moved leading up to the deadline. Well, that didn't happen. And, you know, it didn't happen at the draft. And Scott Housen told all who had asked that he thought that, you know, Zach Parise needed to go from unrestricted free agency to truly, you know, disclose the market. Well, Parise is now gone, and there is a strong market. There's interest in Rick Nash. But when you're calling Carolina Hurricanes, or they're calling you, and you're asking for, you know, a budding world-class player, and I don't know if that's being fair to him because he's probably there, in asking for Jeff Skinner, that is a non-starter. And, you know, I'm sure that the New York Rangers would say the same thing about Ryan McDonough or Chris Kreider. And it doesn't seem likely that Detroit would be a good fit for Columbus, given that, you know, they face each other so many times over the course of a year. But I'm sure the asking price from the Red Wings would be even considerably higher than that. So those who want to get in on Rick Nash are quiet at the moment, because they know what the asking price is, and maybe they're trying to reverse the trend here a little bit and have Scott Housen come to them, and that may take a while.
Hey, a follow-up on Nash. I mean, first things first, I mean, Scott Housen is getting beat up in some markets outside of Columbus for asking for all these, having, you know, high demands here. I don't blame him. He's got to make a good deal here. I mean, they absolutely have to do that. But, you know, the fact that Rick Nash is kind of controlling this process, I mean, Ottawa was very interested, from what I had heard, in getting Nash, but he didn't want to go there. I mean, that really impacts this process as well.
Absolutely it does. You know, and Rick Nash has earned that, you know, through contract negotiation. The list is pretty simple. It includes the Detroit Red Wings, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the New York Rangers, the Philadelphia Flyers, the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, there might be a willingness to include one or two others, but, you know, the one or two others have to be brought to Rick Nash. That means Columbus is going to have to say, look, Rick, we've got a deal from this team. Would you be willing to consider this team? They're not on the list. list, and so far it hasn't gotten to that point. It may get to that point, and you know what? I tend to agree, AGA. It's hard to be critical of Housen because he's going to lose in this trade. Yeah. He's going to lose. Mm-hmm. Rick Nash is the best player, and you can't replace that elite player. But, you know, this could also turn ugly. You know, I don't think Columbus, in fact, I know Columbus doesn't want this. Rick Nash doesn't want this. This could turn into the Danny Heatley saga that we saw with Ottawa a few years back. And, you know, the only way that I think you avoid that is by just recognizing that, you know, it's time to move. And so if the best deal isn't going to knock your socks off, then what's the second best deal? And somewhere out there's got to be the right fit.
Hey, Darren, before I let you go, the Detroit Red Wings had been a team. Everybody, they loaded with cap space. Everybody figured they're going to be in. They were in on both Suter and Parisi. Many thought maybe those two players would go and play in Detroit together. They right. don't get either one of those guys. What's the feeling in Detroit right now as they move forward, trying to fill that hole that Nick Lidstrom has left and really without the marquee free agents that they thought they might be able to get?
Well, and then that's why we speculate and attach Detroit to the interest that I'm sure that they're showing in Rick Nash. But, you know, do you create more holes by giving up the assets that you're going to have to give for Columbus to even consider that type of a trade? We know Ken Hall and the management group there are very active. They're very aggressive and very methodical. So, you know, I'm sure that they're thinking of trade scenarios that may work for them. You know, in the meantime, their news today was of interest, and that's bringing Tom Rennie onto the bench alongside Mike Babcock. I spoke to both Babcock and Rennie, and they're both excited by that. So it's tough. There's no doubt that Suter and Parisi joined Detroit. Comfortably, that would have put the Red Wings yet over the top in the Western Conference. But now, like a lot of teams, they've got some holes that they're going to have to address, if not before the start of the season, whenever that is, then in season.
Thank you so much, Darren. Have a great summer. Enjoy it as much as you can while you're still trying to keep on track of, keep on top of breaking news. Enjoy it if you can.
All right, thank you. Same to you guys.
All Thanks, right, Greg. That's Darren Dreger.
Love what you hear. It's never been easier to listen to the NHL on XM wherever you are. Sign up for a free 14-day trial and get exclusive audio entertainment on the go, at home or in your car. XM. Love to listen.